Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now notice with me these next two verses, especially. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that God is love. And the scripture tells us that God is light. And the Bible tells us that our adversary, the devil, Satan, is a thief. And he comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Right here in the scripture, we have Paul writing by the authority and anointing of the Holy Spirit that if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We recognize that people do not believe because they don't know. If they knew everything about eternity, would they get saved? I think so. I suppose there's a place that we could argue a moment. But the reality is, if somebody is hardening their heart and refuses to believe the gospel, there is blindness. They are unable to see the light of the glory of the gospel, of the light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. They don't see him. Now you remember when Saul was zealously persecuting the Christians, and he was on a road to Damascus, and he was intending to rally the authorities and to persecute and kill Christians. That was his mission. And the Bible says, a bright light shone out of heaven. And we know as a result of that, he was blinded. There's a relationship between seeing and blindness, isn't there? Now, it's interesting that Jesus, in speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, condemned them because they were blind. The blind were leading the blind. The lost were leading the lost. Now, blindness comes because of pride. That's how spiritual blindness comes. I'm not talking about physical blindness. God forbid. I realize there's people that are physically blind for many reasons. But spiritual blindness comes because of pride. I need the Lord like I need a hole in the head. And until there's a Damascus Road experience where they can see, something opens their eyes. In Revelation 3, verse 18, the church of Laodicea, the Holy Spirit has these words to say, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may be able to see your true condition. Now, if the God of this world is able to keep people from getting saved because of blindness, then we realize how important sight is. Now, I'm talking primarily spiritual sight. But any of us, I think all of us here have sight physically. But some of us probably know some people who are physically blind. I've heard people say that if I had to lose and could choose which sense I was going to lose, blindness would be the least. In other words, they want to be able to see. Seeing is such a gift. Now, in the providence of God, He is so designed that we will not be able to fully see the full brightness of Jesus' light. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. In other words, we really don't yet know as we are known. We really don't yet see as we shall one day see. Because he's talking there about the need for the permanence of love and hope. And how that everything else is fleeting. But faith, hope, and love remain. But I want us to realize something tonight more than we've ever seen before. Notice I used the word seen before. I want us to see something maybe we've not seen before and bring some greater clarity. And that is how precious our spiritual sight is. Because if we have been born again, somebody has prayed for us that our eyes could be open to see the light of the gospel, to see the light of Jesus. And that's a gift. If the devil can't keep us from getting saved, what's the next thing he can do? He can keep us from seeing what Christ saved us to and for. And it's interesting, turn with me now over to Ephesians, what Paul prays for Christians. And then we know that from history that the believers that were gathered at Ephesus were among some of the most mature saints in Christ. And he, look with me in chapter 1 and in verse, I'm going to start with this, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Enlightened to what? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? I can't stop there. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Church, can we see what we just saw to read? Is the eyes of our understanding, has it really grasped? Have the lights come on in our soul so that we are filled with the revelation and the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see why now it's important that men ought, and not just men, but without respect to gender, men ought always to pray and not faint. Because when we're praying, our spirit is engaged with the Spirit of the Lord, and we are engaging with heaven for our eyes to be opened, for our eyes to be able to see. A men's encounter is powerful for one primary reason. Well, you can expand this. Yes, because of prayer that's been sowed in that. But for one weekend, for a Friday night through a Sunday night, the Word of God is proclaimed with tremendous power and anointing. In many ways, greater than many times we experience in services. And that is powerful because there's cleansing through the blood of Jesus. There's washing through the blood of Jesus. There's freedom through the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Eyes are open and things about who Christ is are seen, sometimes for the first time, and if not, a renewal of things that we've heard before but lost because we've gotten entangled with the things of this world and we've got careless. Our devotion to Christ has weakened and fallen away, and he's no longer the first love in our lives. Our prayerlessness tells on us because we're blinded to the provisions of heaven in Christ. And I want us to see how important it is for us to pray, for us to be in prayer, to pray for one another, to pray that we may stay in Christ, to stay in a place where we know our need for Christ. What a gift that is. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit is that person who knows what they need. They know they need God. They know, like they're that person in the tomb, that apart from Christ, I can't do anything. I need Christ. Many times it takes a weakening of man's flesh before we can recognize our need for Christ. That's why it's tough for the rich to enter in. It's not that they can't. It's just that it's more difficult because it's so easy to trust in the riches. And that's why many times those who are poor in this world's goods are rich in faith. Why? Because they need God and they know it. Do you know you need God? Do you realize, unless for his mercy to shine on you, you cannot understand this word? Do you know there are a lot of people who have read this Bible and don't know the author? Because their eyes haven't been opened. And sadly, there's a lot of people that know the author and don't read this Bible. Help us, Lord. But if you don't understand the Word of God, pray. Ask for wisdom. Ask for revelation. Ask for the author to speak to you and give you revelation, give you understanding, give you insight. And boy, when he speaks and his word comes alive, there's such closeness and intimacy and delight and satisfaction. Oh, and you know what? You can get so full of the presence of the Lord, that literally, you may not be hungry. Now, it's important for us to fast as the Lord leads us. But if during the fast, all we think about is food, all you're doing is going without food. You're fasting. You're not having the encounter that God intends for us to have. The intention of fasting and withholding from ourselves that which we would normally need and want is so that when we feel hunger, we remember why we're fasting and we pray. Now, you can pray without fasting, but will you pray without fasting? And so when we fast, not simply, and there's a lot of health benefits in fasting, But the biggest thing is spiritually, is when we withhold food, then we go to God. Say, Lord, I'm hungry, but I want to be hungry for you. I want to be thirsty for you. And so need you. And you know, whether it's fasting or whether it's a trial that we're going through, something we need to learn. We need to realize it's not about us. When you're hungry, it's easy to think it's about me needing to go to the refrigerator or to the store. But really, fasting and trials are not about us. It's about others. We ought not be just praying about ourselves. We ought to be praying for one another. We ought to be praying for others. When you're going through a trial, it's not about you. It's about you having a testimony so that you can help somebody else. It's about you having an identification in the life of humanity so that you can help somebody else that's gone through a difficult time, that doesn't know the nearness of Christ and the provision of Christ, hasn't had their eyes open maybe as much as you have. And so you realize, I can identify because I've been there. And that wasn't about me. It was about me being aware of others. And if in our trials we could give thanks to God and pray for one another, that's the biggest way to get out of a trial. Giving thanks to God and pray for another. Try it. It's powerful. Get your mind off your own problems and own situation. Get your mind on heaven and on somebody else's need. But I want us to see how there's a relationship between why people don't come to Christ and why people who have come to Christ don't grow in Christ, because blindness. And it's a pride that keeps us from recognizing our need. Isn't it tragic? I haven't heard it recently, but I've heard others say that sometimes men will say women need church because they're weak. No, women need church because they're smart. They realize they need God. And men need God too. It's just that we're more proud many times. We need to humble ourselves. Now I want us to go now to our new memory verse for this month. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. I'm going to read. You've got it up there, I think, in the New King James. Listen as I watch that up there, but listen as I read from the New Living Translation. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But you would have none of it. Now God is offering the key for the blessing for his people. But they would have none of it. And if you look back to your text, if you're following your Bible, the King James, New King James says, but you would not. And this is what you said. This is what God's people said to him, after he says, in returning and rest, or another word for that is in repentance, you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. They said, you would not. And then verse 16, and you said this, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses, they said. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall flee till you are left as a pole on, or a stake on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. In other words, God's offering the wonderful provision of rest and of confidence. But they didn't want to have anything to do with it. Instead, in their mind, they said, we'll go to the Egyptians, who have strong, fast horses. When the enemies come against us, we'll go to the Egyptians and they'll help us and we'll be able to flee. And God says, if that's the attitude you want, well, I'm going to send faster horses. What's God saying here? Is he saying, I want to hurt you? Well, we do know that God wounds and he heals. If God wounds, it's only so that he can heal. Because that reckless love, I love this prayer somebody taught me years ago. It says, Lord, bring them the easiest way they'll be brought and keep them the easiest way they'll be kept. God knows what it takes to bring people. And when you pray for someone else, maybe that person has never prayed a prayer in their life, but when you pray for some, that legally opens up heaven's courts and allows God to go and work, because he needs your permission, because he doesn't violate our personal will. And pride can stand between us and God, but when you pray, God can go after them. I mean, I've seen some pretty serious devastation upon people's lives before they came to Christ. Is that the way the Lord wanted them to come? No, but it's the easiest way they're going to come. And I don't know about you. You may have a loved one who's gone through some really tough times. And you feel your heart hurts. You have empathy for them. But if that's what it takes, that's God's mercy. That's God's mercy. I want us to see something that in the days we're living in, let's go back to verse 15. We need the Lord. And my prayer is that our eyes would be open, because someone said, and that someone was me, and I probably read it someplace because I've had to repent so many times since, but I said, we pray in direct proportion to our perceived need to pray. And when I realize I'm prayerless, I realize what's happened. I've gotten proud. And I've not taken the time to seek God. There's only one way we're going to be able to run with the horses and not faint. And that is if we wait upon the Lord. If we come to the Lord and repent. In returning and in rest is our quietness and our salvation and our confidence and our strength. This is so powerful. Don't be like the ones who would not, who wouldn't have anything of it. Realize that the God of this world wants to blind your eyes, lest you see the light of the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we may see through the glass darkly, but there's provision in the Holy Spirit to receive more and more and more. And I pray that we will humble ourselves. And this is going to be the key for us, for me, to set an example, for us as a body, that we would recognize our need for the Lord so that the Lord can open our eyes and have a revelation. Open our eyes, compassion for the lost. I mean, just to see the reality of hell. Just to see the reality of what it means to be lost, for someone to slip into eternity not knowing Christ. Take spiritual eyes to see that. You hear some very careless words. People talk about hell. They have no idea what they're talking about. And I don't either, except by the Holy Spirit. I remember I'm growing up on the farm. We had on the barn floor, second floor of the barn, we had this big machine that had a big pulley on it. And that pulley would turn when we would take a tractor that had a pulley on it that was powered by the engine on that tractor. And we would hook this big, heavy belt, about 9 inches wide, might have been 35, 40 feet long, between the tractor and this machine. And we'd start that machine up. Start that pulley turning in this machine. What that machine was a grinder. And it would grind the grain into such a fine powder so that it would be very easy for the animals to eat. And I would get up above that machine on another floor, third floor, where we had a hole, and I would push the corn cobs and the corn that was on our cob. I would push it to that hole to drop down the chute into that machine. Now, when this machine was running, It was so loud. You can imagine all the gears and those teeth as they meshed, and it would go around and just grind those kernels to a pulp. The whole floor would just shake with a huge noise. And I would sit up there sometimes. And in my spirit, in my mind, I would think of various things. But one of the things I think about is, wow, this is just simply a piece of machinery in a barn. The God of the universe roars. Wow. And then I would think, this noise and this power and this grinding, what would it be like to be in hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and where the fire never goes out? And by the Spirit, I would really have a vision of what that would be like, because I could just imagine if I went down that hole and I got in those gears. What does it look like to see what Jesus did for us on the cross? We have the Passion movie we see, and that's powerful. But it was more than that. No man can recreate what God has done. No man can understand the depths of God's love and the suffering that he underwent. Likewise, no man can understand the glory that God has for them who are born again, who have his Spirit, except by the Holy Spirit. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, except by the Spirit we can see these things. Have you had a revelation of the glory of God? Have you had a revelation of the nature and the character, his purity, his holiness, his patience, his love, his forbearance, his kindness, his wrath? All these things are in the nature of who God is. To see them in the Spirit is to have eyes that have been opened. And when we pray for one another, we enable the Holy Spirit to lift up our eyelids and to be able to see further and to see more clearly what God in Christ has done for us. If we will humble ourselves, not be like those who heard the solution. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Here it is, folks. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And that's the testimony written over the lives of many, many people around us and around this world. But God. And you begin in your spirit to pray for people. And you realize they don't see. They don't know. It's not about beating them over the head. It's about interceding for them, that the Holy Spirit may break through, open their eyes, they may see. And then for our fellow brothers and sisters, it's not enough to be faithful weekly at a service. We need this. We need to get together. But we need throughout the week, as Angie so effectively communicated last week, we need to regularly be praying for one another, regularly speaking to one another, regularly about the things of God, about the things of Christ. It was such a blessing this morning for Kathy and I to join several other couples and a single woman to share Christ, truly share Christ. We weren't talking about some of the things that pastors get caught up, how many people go, what kind of plan or program. We were talking about the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our hearts were refreshed and warmed in the context. And I realized how rare this is, even among ministers. Is Christ precious to you? Is this word, which we have such abundant access to, if not in written form on pages of a Bible, on the internet, on our smartphones and computers, do we read it? Do we ask God to open our eyes that we may see? Because soon, and I don't know if it's 5 years or 100 years. When I talk about soon, I'm like in the language of the Bible, Jesus coming back soon. We don't know when that is. But soon, in our lifetime possibly, if we don't have the bread that comes from above, if we don't have the drink that comes from the Holy Spirit, we won't have anything. Because this world knows most of us are phony. Not here, but the church is not respected, it's not feared. And that's because we've lost the source of our power, which is holiness in the name of Jesus. God is bringing us back in mercy and grace. And my prayer is that our eyes would be opened, that we'll not be blind, that we'll not be indifferent or apathetic, but that we will have eyes to see, ears that hear, and be able to respond with full-blown obedience. The power of God, I believe, will confirm signs and wonders following. And you know what? I believe there will be a day when we'll see people who, like Ananias and Sapphira, lied to the Holy Ghost, drop dead. If that power was present right now, too many would drop dead. So thank God for his mercy. But it's coming back. It's coming back. Amen? It's coming back. You and I, we're going to fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. And it's the knowledge of the Holy One. We're going to press in to know the Lord. And we're going to press in on behalf of one another. I don't want any of us to perish. But I want us all to know the Lord. And I want our loved ones to know the Lord. I want our neighbors to know the Lord. And to know him in truth. To know him in power. The one who sustains them. The one who gives them very life. And then we don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't care what happens. The boldest Christian is the one just before the trigger's pulled. When the gun is aimed at them. May the Lord give us that boldness that comes from knowing he's the one. The worship team come back. I'm just going to open the altar tonight. I know we're later maybe than sometimes, but God's taking us someplace. It's not going to be church as usual. We're going to have to be serious and offer ourselves to him. We can do it shorter time periods. That's great, but just take advantage of every time you can. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, I offer myself. I don't want to be proud and arrogant. I don't want to be blind. I want to know you as you really are. I want to love you. I want to know your great love for me. Show me more of your love, because I know as I see how much you love me, I'll love you back. It's just a God thing. Would you stand? Just if you want to come and kneel and just receive, humble yourself, call on the name of the Lord. You can do it where you are. Let's just take the next 5 minutes or so and just get before God. Cry out to the Lord. Help us. Help me. Thank you, Jesus.